Hello, everybody. We're back. We're back. We're back from Melbourne. Having missed last week, yeah, we had a great time at PAX, didn't we, Stormy?
Yeah, we had a great time. And you only got back yesterday, right?
I know.
How are you feeling?
I am still jet lagged. Like, I got to about 7 o'clock Perth time last night, and my body just went, yo, man, why aren't we in bed?
Yeah.
And then I was up at 4 o'clock this morning, which, you know, admittedly will probably be good for work when I have to actually get up at 6 o'clock tomorrow and go to work. But this morning it was not ideal. But I did get up and start getting some work done on writing some articles and doing some video editing, because that's all the fun PAX, after PAX stuff.
Yeah, no, that's what I've been doing today too. I just put up my day one little vlog video literally 20 minutes ago, I think. And and just recovering.
I was watching a bit of that. I think I got to about 5 minutes before the end, before you came in and we were starting getting organized for the show. But good.
I'm running around a bit.
I love just reliving it, like going through all the video again and seeing everything and just going through my notes and just going, oh, it's so cool. But we do have plenty of packs to talk about. But before we do that, we, of course, have to get into the bloody good game of the week, thanks to Aussie Broadband. And this week, because, you know, we've been at PAX, it's going to be the bloody good PAX game of the week.
Yes.
So thank you so much, Aussie Broadband. So we've got yours first up there, Stormy. What have you got for us?
So my one, there was actually quite a few different games that I really loved and actually got to get my hands on. But Cuisineer, which I was my first stop actually on Friday, definitely won me over. I know I've mentioned this on the show a few times, but I do love my cookings and I do love my rogue light and like games. I know we spoke about the difference between the two a little while back, but this one is a rogue light dungeon crawler, and when you defeat monsters, basically you get ingredients for your restaurant as well. So it's like my two favorite things. It's like this genre of game and then like the cooking aspect and the kitchen aspect as well. So I just, everything about this, because I actually got to sit down and play a little demo. The music, the art style, the characters, that were just really, really, I don't know. It's just not my alley, you know? It's got that kind of cute, cozy factor and look to it, but like the actual combat system and stuff is something that really, really, really drew me in. And I got to chat with Sean, who was one of the guys from the Cuisineer game there. And you can wishlist it on Steam at the moment. I think they said it was not out till, I think they're planning for next year. It's just, I don't know. It really called out to me. It was ticking all the right boxes in terms of, I don't know, everything, mechanically. And you can see here that your little character is going to, cook something for the restaurant. You could open and close the restaurant, and there's different bosses and stuff in the actual combat scene as well. So this was my bloody good game of the week from PAX, is Cuisineer. And
what's the sort of the goal there? Is it just that you're trying to cook stuff to operate your kitchen?
Yeah, so like to basically cook stuff in your kitchen. To be able to do that, you need to defeat monsters to get like certain like vital ingredients, basically. And that main little character you play as, the name's Pom, which is really cute. There's actually quite a few different characters that you kind of cycle through in the previews they were showing, and they might be showing it in some of the trailer there. The style of the characters, the art style is just so cute. Like, I'm almost tempted to cosplay one of them because they're so adorable. But I was just having a look, because it is on Steam at the moment. There's over 100 recipes to discover and cook. There's different biomes as well. So, you know, you've got the forests that we can see at the moment, but they'll have, you know, biomes like volcanoes and icy caves and swamps and stuff like that too. And it becomes like, when you're in the restaurant, like a fast-paced kind of diner experience. And then as well, which I kind of played a very little bit of there, was it was kind of like you can customize your own weapons and they all have different, like I think you had like a spatula or something in one of them. And they all have different like features and perks and stuff too, and you can like customize them and have different effects. And they also have bubble tea potions.
Bubble
But
tea.
yeah, so every like the more I think about it and the more I like read the Steam page and stuff again, the more I'm like, oh, please just give me this game now. Yeah, I this one I fell in love with. It was like love at first sight for this one. So,
That's awesome. Like,
yeah.
and have knowing the quality of the games that were out there, I know this couldn't have been an easy choice to narrow it down to
No.
one. And don't worry, we'll talk about the other games that were there as well, because like when I was picking my game of the week, it was very, it came down to two in the end, and the one that I went with is Primordial Legends: Hollows Hero, which a lot of people may know by its more colloquial
You
term
called
in
for
combat
me?
wombat. So
You did,
it
but
is
I
a
most
game where you play
self-admit
as a wombat, and
your friendship
I really loved
I
it. I love
humbly
sitting there
beg
talking to the
though
devs
I
and
could
hearing the
never turn
story
down a
about
request
the
to
game.
read.
So it actually
What
started
can I
as a
do for
much
you?
larger game.
Your
And
powers
Brunt, I
this
think it is,
world
who's
I wish
the
to
wombat
control,
character,
then I
actually
believe my
started
existence
as
be locked
a,
away
like
in
an
your
NPC in a
embrace.
much larger game
I
that they were
see.
building.
What are these
And then in the
powers?
planning stages, they've gone,
Blood
oh, we need to take a
drinks,
step back from
battle
this because
gods.
this is a super big game. And so they've sort of made the design decision to
Help!
just sort of
Somebody!
take characters out of
We're
this
under
big,
attack!
huge world they've
Stay back,
created and do little bits with it.
there's
And the first
somebody.
one they're doing is
I'm
the wombat,
weak.
Brunt.
Let me
Grunt,
show
sorry,
you.
Grunt. I
Let me
knew
show
it
you.
was a runt in there somewhere, but it is for. And you've got to remember as well, most of these games that are being shown at PAX are pre-alpha. So they're still rough for, but just looking at this game, they built it in Unreal 5
We
engine and
know
it
what we're
just
going
looks,
against.
it looks amazing. It
Video
looks
piece
like my sort
disgusting.
of puzzle platformer
Move to
with
the front
combat
lines,
in it.
Brunt.
It was so good. It was so much
Sweet
fun.
infant! As big
And
as a
some of the
dragon!
things that sort of seem like they were missing, you're sitting there
My
talking to
son
the
is
devs and
out
you
there!
find like there's no lock-on system in it just yet. And talking to the devs, they go, yeah, it's come up.
The
They
longer we
were planning
wait,
to put
the
it in
more
at one
likely they'll be
point, but
dead
it
by the
wasn't
time
quite
we
ready, so they just
clear.
left it out for this. So
Giant insects,
it's
gargoyle,
really
giant beast,
cool
slayer!
to just sort
Send
of
the beast, I
be
say!
able to talk to the devs as you're
Well, you're
playing
mean.
through it. I really love that aspect of being at PAX and playing the game. And the game itself is just, it looks like this huge world. It's incredibly detailed. Like, I would just stop and wonder at the surroundings of it. It is just, and the combat in it is very fluid as well. Like, there are some bits, like when you jump in the air, you're a wombat, so you don't move around, so there's not much movement in the air, but there's a bit, fair bit of agility when you're on the ground a little bit more. So it was really, really cool. I love seeing it. And yeah, that's my bloody good game of PAX, thanks to Aussie Broadband there.
Yeah, what you say before, it was just like there was so many good indie games like on show there, and there was still, even though I got to play a couple of things, there was still quite a few things that I just couldn't get to, one because I had places to be, or two because the booths were so busy. Like everyone was so eager to get their hands on everything there, which was just really, really great to see, I think. Particularly because, I mean, I know some people were having a whinge, or not, I say some people, like a small amount of people having a whinge about how there was no AAA, the big three, I guess, at PAX. But I think it gave time for the indie stuff to really have their moment, if that
Yeah.
makes sense.
Look, I think it's a fair criticism, especially when it's something that's been there before that's been missing. But as my first PAX, I could quite happily not have the AAAs there because the
I
AAAs
agree.
are doing their own thing. You've got the Nintendo Directs, you've got Sony State of Play, you've got Xbox, just they've got the money and the ability to show something off. And the lines for these, the biggest game Actually, two of the biggest games that were there, I would say. One was Final Fantasy XIV.
Oh my god, the lines for that was insane.
Yeah, and Sonic Frontiers. Now, I was lucky enough to have a media badge, and it meant that we got an hour before everybody else got in on the Friday to have a look around. So I got a bit of a chance to play Sonic Frontiers then, and I quite liked it. But I tell you what, I wouldn't be lining up 2 hours to try and play it. I've got no interest in that at all. I would rather spend my time playing lots of different games than to line up to play one game. And the AAAs would be like that if they were there. Yeah, so I'm, like I said, it's a valid complaint, but I didn't miss it personally.
Yeah, me either. It was my first PAX too. So I think going in with kind of no expectations was potentially like a good thing. And just seeing what it was like. And I know this is something we mentioned because Doom Cutie did a wrap up on our website at GameAndOz.com about all our favorite things from PAX. And I know one of my favorite things was getting to see everybody. But yeah, I feel like we should go through the weekend day by day
I think that's a good idea, because I think we're gonna probably lose stuff if we just start randomly talking about this, because it was this. But let's start on the Friday. And look, after got in, had a look around with my media pass, we then had our panel on the charity.
So we were joined,
it was myself and Stormy on a panel that we were talking about how to host a charity stream. And we had Jake Truman, who's the associate producer for the ANZBL in the World of Tanks space there, because they've done some charity work over the years. And we also had Shane Bailey from Game On Cancer and Cure Cancer, and Julian and Emma from Movember as well. So we had a great chat, and I was just hilarious that in the middle of our chat talking about how to do a charity panel, and I think we'd just gotten to like talking about donation rewards or something like that, and right in the middle of it, someone stood up and said, "Sorry, I've just had a donation," and is doing star jumps in the middle of our panel.
Yeah. That was so random, because we're like, what are they doing? And we didn't realize that they were streaming the panel as well. Yeah. So while they were live, they were raising money. And I think they said it was for Are You Okay?
Yep.
Yeah. So that was cool. And then someone like two rows behind was like, "Yeah, I'll match it," or whatever it was. And it was just it was so like it was just so strange. It was all happening in real time as we were talking about all that same stuff. It was cool.
I had questions afterwards. People came up to me and said, "Did you plan that?" Go, "Nope, just happened. Just one of those magical things that just happened." It was so cool. So after the panel, I had to duck off because I went to the Worlds of Bethesda thing. You went to that later in the afternoon on Friday, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
So this was an outside of PAX thing. So you had to go to a different venue that was a little bit away from the Melbourne Convention Centre there. And I have to say, I was a little bit disappointed myself with what I saw. I know Doom Cutie went on the Friday night. And it sounded like it was a bit of a different event then, and she had a really good time with it. But if it wasn't a free event, I think I would have been quite upset with what I saw there.
I think it's hard because I went with Charlie Golf, who's in the chat at the moment, because our session was at 3:30, so we're like, "Oh, we'll get there a bit early because we've booked our ticket. You know, it's not like we're gonna miss out," or whatever the case was. And I don't know about you, Jim, and what time you got there, but our line was like going quite far down the street. We're like, "Oh, how many people are going into one session?" And we had bought like an extra Xbox controller because we thought we were going to be able to get it done because We Are Robots was there, and customizing controllers and things like that. The actual setup of the place I think was awesome, but I feel like the issue was there was perhaps too many people for one session for the activities that they had planned. And the activities were really, really cool. Like, we obviously had the controller customization, but in the little Fallout section that they had an artist doing like Fallout, like that kind of cartoon art style portraits of people. And then I didn't get to experience this, but you said there was a Elder Scrolls themed, it was kind of like a role play scenario in like a small kind of room.
So they had two storytellers. They had like a bard there who sang a bit of a song, had a I think it's a lute. I don't know. I've never physically seen one in the real world, but it was kind of like a little harp, and yeah, she was playing it and singing at the same time. And then they brought in like an adventurer, and she told the story of a particular dungeon, and I forget which one it was, but they picked four people out of the crowd that was in there, which there was maybe 20 people in there, and gave four people a coin, and they were basically the classes in the Elder Scrolls Online. So there was like a Dragon Knight, a Templar, and once again, I forget the other two, but I put my hand up and I was the Templar. So like you had a coin with heads or tails on it, and every now and then a decision would need to be made. So you flip the coin, and the coin determined the success or failure of that action. So and it was funny because heads was the good one. Heads mean you succeeded. Tails meant you failed. We had seven tails in a row. And just like everybody was sitting there going, and then eventually we got ahead and was, yes. Yeah, but it was a really cool little storytelling thing. And I've got to say, like, before I lined up for that, I was on the verge of leaving the world of Bethesda. Because like you said, everything looked really cool. Like, it was really done up nicely. But there was nothing related to the games that were coming. Like, there was a Redfield and Starfield sign up. Redfall and Starfield sign up inside, but there was the only gameplay stuff that you saw was just on a screen behind a DJ. And the Fallout room was cool, and they had the guy sketching you in the art of Fallout, but the line for that was a mile long. Same with getting the controllers painted, the line was a mile long. And
yeah,
and
it was like, unless you were one of the first few in, you know, or you got there lined up really early. I think within about 5 minutes of myself and Charlie Golf walking into the venue, like all the lines were, all the activities were capped. And we were like, we just walked in. So it was hard. Because to explain how it was set up properly, like in this kind of building that you went into, there was a big kind of bar, like a tavern almost. And that was all kind of Redfall themed, wasn't it? It was majority like, that kind of space was all to do with Redfall. The Elder Scrolls bit was only like a small little room that you had to line up to get into that room. Starfield was literally just a wall with like a robot, wasn't it? I'm not quite sure what it was, but it was literally just one small wall, and that was the Starfield bit. And then the Fallout room was like an open room. And it looked like a, you know, Fallout Celebration. And I couldn't even tell you what the controller customization little section looked like because we didn't even get a chance to look
there,
in. But
there wasn't a lot there. It was basically a big alleyway sort of thing. It wasn't a lot there.
In hindsight, like, I feel like if I knew that's how busy those sessions were going to be, I would have tried to get there so much earlier because I was like, yeah, I'm on time. I'm not going to miss out. And I felt like I missed out on so much. Yeah.
Honestly, if I'd known what it was going to be like, I probably would have just stayed at PAX.
Because it
was like, if you were going to walk there, it would have taken 25 half an hour to walk there from the convention center. So it was a fair way away. And like for me in particular, because my session was an hour after the panel finished, I had to rush from that to get over to where the where Worlds of Bethesda was, and then get back to PAX as well. So I just it was a little disappointing, but I, like I said, I know Doomy, because I think the nighttime session must have been more geared towards industry. I think that was a bit better from what I've heard there.
I know that one had I think there was paid tickets involved, and then it was also like influencer, industry people. And it sounded like that was almost a whole different experience, because everyone that I heard that went to that on that Friday night had a really great time. But then the general consensus about what we chatted about was kind of the same.
But after that, like after I went to Worlds of Bethesda, I went back to PAX myself. And then I went and watched a panel. It was an interesting panel. It was how to pitch for paid work in games journalism. We know that that industry is pretty cutthroat as far as getting paid for work goes. And it's going to sound a little bit down on it, but basically it was four editors going, cool, yeah, send us stuff and maybe we'll get back to you. And one freelance journalist going, don't do this if you want to wait. That was, yeah, but look, honestly, it was a lens into the industry, I guess, that would show us how hard it is, and to get paid work in games journalism in Australia is very hard, and anybody that wants to get into it really should be going into it with their eyes open, in that there's not a lot of paid opportunities, and if you're going to do it, have something else that you can write about as well. But like I said, those last two things kind of sound a little bit down on it, but I'll tell you what, the PAX hall itself was just amazing for me. Like, the first 5 minutes that I was in the hall, I was just walking around with my jaw on the ground.
Yeah.
Just going, oh, this is amazing. And then I ran into somebody I knew and was gabbing for the next 5 minutes. Rogue Sultana, which was amazing because she used to be part of the Goa team. And, yeah, meeting her was just amazing. And then realizing that, oh, crap, I should get around and look at things.
I was the same too. There was so many moments. Like, I was supposed to go to that panel that you went to as well, but I think the time between leaving the Worlds of Bethesda and getting to that panel, it wasn't going to happen. And then there were people that I was like direct messaging on Twitter being like, where are you at the moment? And I'll be like, I'm here. And then on the way there, you'd stumble into someone that you know.
Yeah.
And you get caught up talking and then time's escaped you. And I feel like, I don't know about you, but every day at PAX, my watch, because it obviously has pedometer, oh man, I did so many steps around that hall, and I felt like even though I did so many laps through there, there was always something that I missed, you know, or I hadn't caught my eye on before. So it was definitely packed with a lot of stuff, and I was gonna say like Friday was definitely one of the quieter days out of the two, because Saturday was definitely the most hectic busy.
It was stupid busy.
Yeah, but Friday wasn't too bad, actually. I felt like it was, the convention was big enough that you felt like you could still breathe.
Yeah.
You know, like you're not like sardines. I feel like Saturday, that was a bit of the situation there. But Friday and Sunday were pretty decent days to go in. I think for me, on Friday after the convention closed, I went to the Thermaltake after a PAX after party. Which was really good because I worked with them this year, appearing on one of their podcasts. And that was great because, again, it was more like networking with creators and people in the industry that, you know, you would have seen, or, you know, I've seen their name somewhere. So it was nice getting to connect and unwind. It was very relaxed and very, like, low-key in a good way. And then after that, I did have a bit of a late night before Saturday came around again.
I think a lot of people did. Like, there was a lot of going out and having a bit of a drink, and because we did the same. There was a few of us that went to Fortress Melbourne for a bit.
Oh, did you go on the Friday night?
Yeah, went on the Friday night, yeah. And I know because Pete had arrived by then, so we went out for drinks and run into Pavlova Face, who's around the Perth streaming community. Yes, Charlie Golf, a bit.
A bit.
Gamey Game Face, thank you so much for that sub, my friend.
Oh, I was just about to type that too.
it was because it was just, that's what you went and you socialized afterwards as well. Because, like,
yeah,
you know, and even when Pete and that group of people that I was there with went back to the hotels and whatnot, I thought, I'll just peek upstairs because I knew some of the World of Tanks people were there. And I'd run into Jake Truman and a couple of the players there. So I stayed around and watched some ANZ Premier League stuff with them. And just, yeah, had a good time and a few more drinks. And, yeah, it, the weekend was like that. It was just so cool.
I was a bit anxious actually to go to Fortress at all over that weekend, just because I knew like that was one of the places to go, which we did end up going to. Of all places, that Friday night, I went to Holy Moly with a few friends, which is like, I know, so random, because people are probably going to be like, but there's Holy Moly in Perth, Bianca. And I'm like, yeah, I know. But
yeah, but the holes, you know, are different here.
Yeah, actually, some courses I hadn't seen, and some I had, but it was at least away from the busyness that I imagine the first night of PAX was at Fortress.
Yeah.
And the only place I didn't go to was the GG Easy Bar.
Yeah, I really wanted to go to GG Easy Bar because I've heard it's like it puts up the esports on the screen, but the one time we tried to get in there, it was just packed, and that was on. That was on the Friday, actually. We were trying to, we thought, oh, yeah, we'll go down there and have a look at it. But, yeah, did not, yeah, couldn't get in. It was just so packed. And Fortress, honestly, Friday night it wasn't too bad, but I know Saturday downstairs it was ridiculously packed.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that in a second because we've still got all of
Saturday.
Saturday
morning.
That's it. We've still got all of Saturday to go through. And started off with, we put together a little Goa team breakfast. Some people had some other stuff on, so they couldn't make it, because it's inevitably what happens at a thing that's as busy as PAX, is that there's just too much stuff on.
Late nights.
Yeah, that too. I wasn't going to mention that. I was just going to say, you know, prior engagements, but yeah, late nights as well. But yeah, which was really cool. We got to meet, just have a breakfast as a team there and have a chat and yeah, just have fun there before heading off to PAX. And then one thing that I know for next year now is that Saturday is the busiest day. It is ridiculously busy, and I turned it into a panel day. Like I think I went into the main hall once in the morning and I went, this is ridiculously busy. So
yeah, I was gonna say as well, Saturday, for those who are into or like to cosplay as well, Saturday was the most cosplay heavy day, I would say. But in saying that, because PAX was especially so busy, part of me was glad that I cosplayed that morning because everyone else was doing it, but then also it was just so packed and like, I don't know, overwhelming at the same time, especially when you're wearing something generally quite uncomfortable as well. Yeah, that was just something I picked up. There were definitely more cosplayers on the Saturday.
It was a Sunday, I think, that they had the finals for the cosplay competition.
Yeah, so the cosplay championship was on the Sunday, but I think as well what probably influenced more cosplayers on the Saturday was there was quite a few meetups. Cosplay meetup. So I went to the League of Legends meetup with my friend, and you know, there were different varieties of ones during the day, and those were really good opportunities for those cosplayers and those who are fans of those games to get together as well. And that's why I missed you guys that morning, because I forget, I underestimated how long it takes to get into costume. but I actually, by 2 o'clock, I headed back to the hotel room and got into my Goa shirt, and normal clothes, which I was just like so grateful for, because it was all so comfy. So by the time that our meetup came around, you know, most of us were in the same shirt and stuff.
That was so cool, that Goa meetup, and just so many different people there, and all of us in, like, the Goa staff in the Goa shirts, and even Sass Queen Amy, who wrote for us for a while, was there as well, come along and meeting long-term community members like Rossi. A lot of the Stream Perth crew came along as well that were over there. It was just amazing.
Of the West were there as well, which was nice.
Yeah, and meeting your little sister.
Oh yeah, so my little sister, yeah, she was with us all of Saturday, and she's a bit of a secret one. I talk about her a lot, but she's very rarely on camera, so no one had really met her. But she's always so invested in, you know, doing like what I do with you, like on the podcast every week, or, you know, when I've been writing for you guys, all that kind of stuff. So having her meet everyone in that room as well. Like, she was like, oh my God, this is so cool. And she ended up leaving with a little Goa like hat. I've got a really cute photo. I was supposed to send it to Natty to share, because she's like now one of the smallest Goa members.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, she had a blast through. We have a really nice group photo, team photo, and I think I have some footage from that day too that I'm still yet to sift through. But that meetup was really, really lovely, and having Pete there especially on that day to chat to everyone and greet everyone and, you know, have us all together, well, almost all of us all together in one spot, it was really surreal. It was really, really nice.
It was so cool. And just like there were people that once again, you get back to that's what PAX was like, really, was just the community feel. Like, I got on a tram coming back from Worlds of Bethesda, and I sat down next to somebody and we were just talking PAX because they were heading back over to PAX as well. And just anybody and everybody. I bought lunch and I've sat down at a table on my own just to do it. And the other people that are around you, they sit and have a chat. What have you seen? What did you like? And
yeah,
it was a really cool, familiar sort of community feel to it. It was really good.
That's what I took away from it too. It was just everyone in general was just so lovely and well-mannered and just very wholesome. I feel like that word gets used a lot, but especially the Goa community meetup. That was especially wholesome, I think. It was just, I think especially because there hadn't been a PAX in person for a couple of years, it was kind of, in some ways, in a nice way, like overwhelming, being like, oh my God, you know, we finally seen each other or finally seen, like reunited again. It's just, lovely feeling, lovely feeling.
Did you get to any panels that day?
You know what? I really wanted to go to panels, and the thing was, the reason why I didn't get to go to so many is I kind of stacked too much up on my plate without thinking. But I was also there as a part of one of the team members of a tabletop team, which were one of the winners last year for the tabletop showcase. Oh.
That's
so
cool.
They're called 219, and at the moment we have one game called Kingless, and they had a stall there at the expo. So I was always popping in and saying hi and playing games with a few people who were coming up to the booth. So I was either cosplaying, I was with you guys, or I was with 219. I think there was a few panels I would have really loved to have gone to. I think there was one that GGWP Academy had done. Just in general stuff about content creating and, you know, kind of breaking into that space. You know, I wish I went to them. I wish I went to the cosplay championships as well. What panels did you go to on Saturday?
So Saturday I had two in my diary of what I wanted to get to. So the first one was how to pitch to Devolver Digital, because I'm not a game dev, but I'm absolutely in awe of what Devolver Digital do and the way they do it, because everything just seems to be very very focused on the developers. So for those of you that don't know how video games sort of go and how they're made, so you'll have a developer, they'll have an idea, they'll make the game, but to get that game out to everybody you need a publisher, and Devolver Digital is a publisher. So but they just have this reputation of finding some really amazing games. So things like Death's Door, Trek to Yumi, Into the Gungeon, sorry. Gunbrella is the one that's coming out next year sometime. And Phantom Abyss, if you knew that. Even Fall Guys. Fall Guys was initially published by Devolver Digital before it was bought by Epic. So all these games... And they're very different styles of games, but they're all still very interesting and different sorts of games. So that's what Devolver seems to be able to do. And I was just curious to see how the panel would go. And so there was one of the co-founders of Devolver Digital, Graham Struthers, was on there. There was one of the devs from Team Wibby, who's an Australian dev that made Phantom Abyss. There was a dev from Massive Monster who made Cult of the Lamb, and there was a dev from, oh, I forget their name, but they're making the game The Plucky Squire, if you've seen that.
Yes.
Really cool looking little game there. And they were all talking about their relationship with Devolver and how they've pitched to Devolver. And hearing some of the stories, like Jay from Massive Monster recited sort of an anecdote, and I'm paraphrasing here, so forgive me, I don't quite have the right words, but basically they put in a pitch to Devolver and they've put in for as low amount of money as they can, like skin of their backside sort of stuff. They're going, it's all right, we'll eat noodles for a bit while longer. And Devolver have come back to them and said, are you sure? Like, you could ask for a little bit more. So that's the kind of publisher that Devolver is, that they're there for the developers. Yeah. Mm. And it's just really cool to see that. And it was really cool to go watch it, because spoiler alert coming up as soon as I can edit the video, but I had an interview with Graham Struthers as well, on my list of things to do. And so just like going to that panel as well just sort of gave me a couple more questions that I could ask him too. So that interview will be coming up, so stay tuned. I did want to go, there was another panel on that afternoon called Understanding the Zelda Timeline. So
I'm a big, that sounds big, right up your alley.
Well, it is. In the end, I decided, oh, no, that's all right. I don't really need to go to that one because I've watched enough YouTube videos on it. And oh, my God, I walked past it. The theater was at capacity. They were turning people away. It was that popular a session. And, like, it was crazy. So, because I had a bit of time between the Devolver panel and the Game on Oz community meetup. So I found myself in Rock Band land. Now,
oh yes,
when I did used to stream, one of my favorite things to stream was Rock Band. I love that game. And so at PAX, they had this room set up with Rock Band in it, and they had the full band. They had the drums, the two guitars, and the singer. And what they would do is they would just say, okay, who wants to come up? And a group of people would come up. They might not all know each other. They might just say, yeah, I want to have a go. I'll have a go at drums. And then the other people would go, yeah, I'll do guitar and whatnot. The singer got to choose the song, and then they would just all play together. And it was just so cool. Like, there was one group of people in there played Bring Me to Life by Evanescence, and they got to the bit in the chorus, you know, wake me up, and like the lady that was singing the song was doing the female bits, obviously, and then the whole crowd was just yelling out, wake me up, yeah, and then she would sing it, I can't wake up, yeah. It was so freaking cool, man. And and just one more of that sort of community feel for PAX, where it was just honestly, that was one of my favorite rooms at PAX, where you could just sit and do nothing. I really like that.
Yeah.
What about yourself? Between, I suppose, getting out of that gear probably took an hour or so anyway, did it?
Look, it wasn't too bad. I just wanted to make sure I made it to the meetup on time. Hmm. So once we did that, what do we do? I went to the press start, what the wiki panel, which was basically like a big gaming quiz that they did. Cool. Ouch. Sorry. My catch is giving me a little gentle bite. It was really fun. It was really good. And I had a few people I knew that were on the panel that I'm good friends with. And it was fun. It went from like 6:30 to 7:30. And then, hello, Gaskia. And then what did we do afterwards? That was it, because it finished at 7:30, and then we went to the Viking restaurant called Mjolnir afterwards, which was really, really cool, if anyone hasn't been there before.
I think I need to go. That hearing the stories you and Charlie Goff were twirling about the place, it just sounds so cool.
Like it's like a whole experience. It is a little bit pricey, but we made a special occasion to go with 219.
So for those listening on the podcast from on anchor.fm, Stormy's recently gotten a couple of new cats, and there's one cat that is not taking no for an answer at the moment.
He just loves me a lot, so he's giving me headbutts and licks. So yeah, he's just asking for attention. Sorry, I'll stay focused.
Pay attention to me.
It's very good. It's very good. Like, even when you go in, like, we had a set menu, and the main course, like the server brought out like a whole little range of like knives, like blades almost. Like you had to choose your weapon. Mm-hmm. That was really cool. It just added to that like geeky kind of experience, you know. Mm-hmm. I forgot to mention actually on the Friday, because it doesn't sound like I did much on Saturday, apart from saying hello and meeting people. Get off the mic. I went to the Lenovo booth, the Legion booth, which was really cool because some of my videos that I've done were on there.
Kind of turned into really a bit cool. of a and game with everybody taking photos next to you on the Legion booth promotional material.
Well, I didn't even know about it until my sister had mentioned it. And it was really good. And I met Hexdeath on Friday. Sorry, I'm getting attacked. It was a great experience, and it was good to like connect with people that I had been working with and stuff there too. They were singing sea shanties. They had a whole like string quartet there. Nice. Did you hear the sea shanties at all? They were cool. It was like a Sea of Thieves.
I think when I was walking past there one time, they were doing stuff with Goat Simulator. And we're asking like people to make noises like goats and
oh
stuff.
Yes, yeah. I was there when they did that too, because they had Goat Sim 3, Destroy All Humans.
Yep.
And there was a 18 plus one. I think it was called like Alone in the Dark or something.
Oh yeah, they had a special like booth sectioned off for Alone in the Dark.
Yeah, like a closed off one.
Yeah.
Ah! Sorry. This little cat's called Yaskia, because if we're going gaming themed here, this is somewhat relevant, but he's just giving me a lot of love at the moment. What did you get up to on Saturday night, Jim?
So Saturday night I went to Fortress Gala. So Fortress Melbourne put on a big sort of little party there. It was ticketed event. You buy tickets to it. And that was just really cool. So like the top Alienware arena section was where the gala was happening. Lots of people dressed up and not just in like suits and ties and stuff like and fancy dresses, but like cosplay as well, which was really cool. And it was just a great opportunity to just chill and talk with people. Yes, Charlie Goff needed tickets because like I had a ticket, but they didn't scan mine on the way in. But in fairness, I was wearing a bright green suit, so I was kind of memorable. So once I was in, the bouncers just remembered me. So when I went, because you know, you had to leave the gala area to get to use the toilets or some, and you could go downstairs as well to the tavern area. When I came back up, they just went, oh yeah, you were in here before. We're just going to let you back in. But you were supposed to get like a wristband, which I never got. But yeah, they just let me in. It was great.
We got there like 11:30 after the Mjolnir dinner. And we hadn't been to Fortress, so we didn't know where we were going. And I walked into this dance floor, and one of my friends was like, how'd you get in? And I was like, they just let us in. And he's like, this is the gala. And I was like, what? I didn't even know this isn't where I'm supposed to be. Like, no one was checking. Well, I mean, by that time, 11:30, it was, it was pretty late. Maybe they stopped checking.
Yeah.
You
could have gotten some of that free pizza. I don't know if they were still handing it out that time. No, well, earlier on in the night there was. I don't know about later in the night.
Yeah. And then Sunday morning rolled around.
Yes, Sunday morning. There were a couple of panels that I wanted to get to, but didn't end up. I got to, there was an esports at the Olympics panel, which was really cool. It had Rowan Crothers, who is a Paralympian. He won a few medals in swimming at the last Paralympics. But what I didn't know about him was that apparently he was quite highly ranked in, well, still is quite highly ranked in Valorant and CSGO.
Oh, yes. I had seen that as well, and I didn't know. That's really cool. An ex-Valorant pro player, was it?
Yes. Yeah, ex-Valorant pro player. I think he said the only reason he sort of gave it up because the late nights playing video games and then getting up at 4:30 for swimming practice was a little too much for him. So, it was really cool. And they had Stephen Cornish, who not only is the CEO of Pentanet, who are ISP here in Perth, but Pentanet's also the owner of Pentanet.gg, the League of Legends esports team here in Australia as well. There was, I forget his name, but there was an esports lawyer. So he was working with the 2032 Brisbane Olympic Games to talk about bringing esports into that. And I'm not even going to try. We did a pre-record for Nuts and Bolts earlier today, and I hadn't had hard enough time trying to pronounce her surname when it was written in front of me. So I'm not going to try, but she was an esports researcher at RMIT. And it was really cool listening to them talk and talk about how esports and the Olympics can benefit each other by getting esports into the Olympics. And if the esports get into the Olympics, the type of infrastructure that will spring up around that, which was really cool. And Natty and I talk about that on Nuts and Bolts, which will be airing tomorrow night on twitch.tv/GameOnOz if you want to have a bit of a listen to what we had to say there. Honestly, my Sunday was pretty cruisy. Like, I had the interview with Graham Struthers, which once again, keep an eye out for that. That'll be coming soon. On the afternoon, I just sort of took the opportunity to sit down and watch some esports that were going on there, because there was like IEM was happening around there as well. But I watched a couple of StarCraft II games, which back in the day when Wings of Liberty came out, which is the first StarCraft II game, I played a bit of online with that, and just sitting down and watching this, it was just amazing to see that the game is still going, still got its competitive scene. And once again, that community feel, you sat down in the auditorium that they had, and you were chatting to people about what was going on in the game. And yeah, it was just really cool. And how was your Saturday?
Sunday. What was happening on Sunday? Oh, yes. So on Sunday, now, I don't know how much I can talk about here because I was actually invited to go check out Skull and Bones by Ubisoft, which was really cool. So I'm going to be very vague just in case, because I would love to talk more about it, because it was one of those things where, like, okay, you got to put your phones away, not allowed to record anything. And they got to share some gameplay with us and tell us a bit about the combat and how that all worked. And as someone who loves, just pirate kind of stuff in general, you know, you got Assassin's Creed Black Flag and Sea of Thieves and stuff. It's really interesting to see, especially now, you know, with Skull and Bones not coming out till March next year, kind of what's on the horizon, so to speak. I, again, will find out if I'm allowed to. I actually retained quite a bit of what they showed us and what they told us, but I don't want to get into trouble. I'm going to have to get some clarification. But what I will say is that in terms of combat, compared to, I know a lot of people, and I'm only bringing it up because other people keep comparing it to, say, Sea of Thieves and things like that. It is definitely a more strategy-based game than it is just a, you know, go in and get your cutlass and just wait in the bush and wait for someone to bring in, you know, their treasure and take it off them kind of thing.
Yeah, I've heard it's more accurate to compare it to Assassin's Creed Black Flag than it is Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, I would say so. It's definitely more kind of, more focused on that kind of planning kind of element when you're going out to, like, say if you're going to try and intercept a trade route. There's different factions and things like that too. Again, I'll be as vague as possible as I can for now, just in case. But After seeing what I saw, I'm really looking forward to it. The room setup they had was cool. They had these like regal kind of looking chairs and furniture out. They had an amazing like wheel or helm, or no, was helm the front of the ship? You know, to steer the ship. There was an incredible artist who I can't remember off the top of my head now, but I've credited them in a photo that I put up of it. They've actually gone and crafted that whole prop. Wow.
Like handmade, I'm going to call it a steering wheel. It's not a steering wheel.
It's not a steering wheel, but it's a steering wheel, I think. Yeah, that's what I thought it was too. So it was incredibly detailed, and the way they had it all set up in this little room was really, really cool. So that's how I started my Sunday morning. And then the rest of the day was just trying to catch people I hadn't seen a couple of days before. And like you said, it kind of quietened down by the Sunday. Mm. And I got to try, there was another game, which if it wasn't for Quizzenia, it would have been Box Night. Mm. I believe it's Box Night. Oh my God, that whole weekend was such a blur. Box Night was really cool, where it had this concept where you work in an office building, it's an office job, office building, and there's a curse that's been put on everyone. After 5 o'clock, basically everyone's like anxiety and depression manifested to monsters. And it's all because I think the boss canceled the Friday afternoon beers.
Darkness.
Yeah, like that's the concept of that game.
I dig it. I dig it. I missed this one. I don't know because Alentric, I think he put that in his like games that he loved to see as well. I want to see this now.
I was chatting with one of the guys there who made it, and you could tell he was just so passionate about it. That made by a team. I believe the name of the company is called We Made a Thing. And they're from Adelaide.
Very accurate.
And Adelaide
has a really cool indie scene there. Like they've got a lot of devs there.
Yeah, it was really cool. I actually tried to see how far I could go, even though I had people behind me. I was like, how far can I play this until I die? Because it is another one of those rogue-like, dungeon kind of games, and the final boss is your boss. It's cool. And then like if you rescue one of your employees on a floor. They give you a beer, which is like an extra life. It's got a really interesting, like, it's a funny sense of humor behind it. And the art style is really cool. It's kind of like, I think I saw someone else describe it as this, but it's that South Park-ish kind of like cartoony kind of humor, I guess. I really, really liked this one. I'm quite looking forward to it. Just because, the sense of humor, sense of humor is just really like, kind of Aussie, it's just that, oh man, the boss cancelled 5 o'clock beers, now there's curses all on us, kind of like, situation. I don't know, I think it's really, really cool. And it was just, what else did I play? There was another game called Dead Pets Unleashed, which was about a band, and it's, I think it's described as like a feminist what do they describe it as? It's an interesting game because it's got a mix of heaps of different styles within it. So there was one, they had a mini game where I had to make a hot dog, but then it's also got a rhythm game because you're playing as these band members. The artwork was really, really cool. But obviously the name is very unusual, Dead Pets Unleashed by Triple Topping. It's a feminist punk rock slice of life. So there's a little, see, this is my kitchen cooking stuff again coming out to play. They always get me like this. I was like, oh, drat, so, another so little Dine and Dash looking thing. I'm sold.
You want Stormy to buy a game, put cooking in it.
Put cooking and put rhythm in it. I don't have any video evidence, but I did get 100% accuracy on the hardest difficulty at the booth. And
it didn't happen.
Yeah, I know. I was absolutely kicking myself. It's a really cool one. The music is really cool as well, that punk rock kind of style. And it's almost like the art style slightly changes in every little mini game you're in. Because this obviously looks really cutesy, but when you go to the more slice of life stuff, it's a little bit more, I think you're going to bring it up, kind of a bit more like grungy, a bit more... Oh, look, it's taking you back to the dining thing again. It's calling out to me. definitely check it out. It's a really interesting one, and there's different choices you have to make in terms of whether you're going to help your band out, whether you're going to, you know, pay the rent. And it's a really interesting concept that they're playing with here.
So kind of life management sim in there as well, by the sound of
kind of, yeah. So like I noticed, you know, depending on how I replied to a band member or, you know, my landlord, there were certain, I guess, relationship points that went up or down and stuff. And it's really cool. They had a little demo there to play with, and really interesting one. Those are the only three games I got to play, was Cuisinia, Box Night, and Dead Pets Unleashed. But there was a few other ones, like I think there was a regional town manager game. I can't remember what it was called. I love those sim management games as well. There was, I think, one or two of those. There was a really cool, I don't know if you saw this, Jim, it was a couch co-op game called, I think it was called Camping Out.
Yeah, because I saw it. I didn't play it myself, but it had that, because I think it's all from those Moving Out type games.
Oh, at least very heavily inspired by. That's the kind of vibes I got.
Although I think it's the same devs, because like I think there's a whole series of them, Camping Out game. So I'm just.
But that one was always packed. I really, really wanted to try that one, but they were always busy. Always busy. Yeah. And that one looked really cool.
Yeah. And that was the thing. There was like so many games there to play. And the very first one that I came across that I got to play was almost my game of the week. It's this game called Spirit Mancer. And it's this little bit of sort of 2D action adventure platformer, but it's got these card-based mechanics in them. So you'll fight the enemies, but when they get down to a certain amount of health, you'll be able to capture them and put them in a card. So you can only hold four cards at a time, and then use them to attack or do. Like there was one card that was a healing card, another one that was just a big huge ball of death type thing.
Mm.
So it was it was just really, really cool put together, and you could pick up weapons in it that and different weapons stun, like staggered different enemies, you know, in different ways type thing. It was just, there was a lot of strategy to it, but also it was just a lot of fun. I just had so much fun playing it, and I cannot so many games ended up on my wish list. It was ridiculous.
I love how colourful this one looks. Like, it's just, I feel like I saw a glimpse of it away, but again, it was just so busy that I didn't really, I wish I could have just, in an ideal world, just sat down with every single one and tried them all. At the same time, like, after Friday, I was like, oh, I still got another 2 days to go. Like, there's so much to do. And I thought that I would almost be able to do everything, but oh, man, I was so wrong. I was so wrong.
So I'm just trying to find, there was another game, Tempopo, I think it was.
Oh, Tempopo, I played that. Tempopo,
yeah. But somebody told me it was made by...
Witchbeam.
Who made another...
Unpacking,
yeah. And it was just this cool little puzzle game.
Did you get to play a bit of it at all?
I did.
Yeah, me too.
It was one of those... Right, it was one of the games I got to play with my media pass. So there was no line. I just walked up, picked up a controller, and oh, it was so good. Oh, to go back to that. it was just this really cool puzzle game where your little characters would just walk no matter, kind of like Lemmings in a way, in that they wouldn't stop, and they hit a wall and they would turn and just keep going. So you had to put down like arrows, and then eventually there were bits that would turn, would push or, like, rocks.
Bring like part of the terrain upwards so it could go across a gap in the bridge or something.
Yeah, and stuff like that. And but other games, there was one I had a good go with called Blob Person, which was a 3D platformer, which once again is right up my alley. I had a good chat with the devs. One of the 3D designers was there as I was going through it, and just talking about the game, and it was really, really cool. But one thing I do want to talk about, because not just video games were there, there were tabletop stuff, as like you were talking about the board games with Team 219, is it?
Yes.
But there was one that I was really interested to see. It's one of the few things that I knew was going to be there. And I just, I needed to see this. So it's basically augmented reality for tabletop gaming. So you get these cards, so the things, I don't have the card there, but they would look like these things here, and the phone would pick them up and it would display something for that card. So like it could be an enemy, it could be a house. So it was like an aid to dungeon masters to create a more immersive story.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and to the point where the dungeon master could control it. So say your party came across a cabin in a woods somewhere, but only one of the characters got into the house. The DM could hit some stuff on a control interface that would reveal the interior of the cabin to the player that's entered, but the others couldn't see. So the player that was inside would have to describe what he sees to the rest of the players. And then it had modifiers, like you could set it on fire it was just such a cool little thing. And they're working with, I think they've got, because this, the good thing about this was just that there are just packs that you can get in the Ardent Roleplay system that will look a certain way, and you can customize what you see on your game landscape, and it's just all done through AR. There are like digital versions of cards, so you don't have to have physical versions of all the cards. You can just go in online and see it, which also means that you can use this remotely as well. So you can throw up a card on the screen, and the person playing can just scan that with their phone on the screen. And it looks so cool and so immersive in what they're doing. And talking to the gentleman that runs it, Dr. Ralph, oh my God, that is a surname, Mulberger, I think. I'm going to go with that. I don't think that's quite right. But he was saying that it kind of, in their testing and experiences so far, it felt like players were saying that they stopped referring to things like, oh, okay, I'll move two squares this way. And instead they'll say, oh, I move to this thing. I'll move to the fireplace, or I'll mm-hmm. move to that rock over there and stuff like that. So it just becomes a way more immersive experience than a tabletop with miniatures.
Yeah.
But I was very excited to see that happening.
No, that concept's awesome. I'm sad I missed out on that.
I know, especially, and I need to mention it to our editor-in-chief here at GameOnOz.com, Royce Wilson, because it's launching with like a Call of Cthulhu pack to start with, like a one-shot campaign type thing as well. Mm-hmm. And Zulu is right into that. That's right up his alley. It is so cool to watch. Look, I think we're sort of coming to the end of the session here. I know, like, it's been a little bit different because we've just been talking about PAX. We haven't been talking about news stories because there's there's always stuff happening in the world. We'll find things to talk about. But I think we've been going for about an hour now. I think that's a good one for our special PAX episode.
Oh, I reckon next week, you know what we didn't talk about, which was spontaneous from us, is ACMI. We'll have to leave that for next week, I think.
I think that'll be a good idea because, we'll just leave this one solely focused on PAX. But just quietly, if you're in Melbourne and you haven't been, go to the ACMI Museum. It is so good. Basically, it's motion pictures and some video game museum stuff. It's really good. But yes, I think we should talk about that one next week.
Next week, yeah, I agree.
But until then, thank you everybody for watching. It was so great to be with you in PAX, Stormy. Hope you really enjoyed it over there.
Yeah, likewise. It was fantastic. And it was great. I got to share it with you and the Game on Oz people and stuff too. It just made me realize, like, oh my God, we're all part of this, you know, community that's actually so, so big. And yeah, it was just great to spend time with you guys over there too. It was nice.
Just before we go, I'm going to say hey to Apolodex. So Apolodex actually got some nice footage of me playing Hollow Hero, because Apolodex is a videographer. He great person, friend of the show. He's done a few little like video editing stuff that was on the weekly show. Oh God, too long ago now. But thank you so much for doing those videos for me, Apolodex. It was very much appreciated. But yes, once again, thank you everybody, and we will see you all next week. Bye.
Bye.